Now it's 5 o'clock on a Wednesday afternoon. We're hovering right near triple digits here in the city of Davis. But no such temperatures could keep me, Dr. Andy, from my appointed poetic radio wave rounds. For here I am, on the longest Wednesday of the year, 2011, to share with you poetry, including poetry by Jack Kerouac. Technology, that I'll be reporting on in a few minutes, and especially short fiction in the second half of the program from Ethel Rohan, the author of Hard to Say from Pank Press in 2011, and Cut Through the Bone, Dark Sky Books, 2010, which was named a 2010 Notable Story Collection by the Story Prize. She's going to be reading from her work tomorrow, Thursday, June 23rd, at Elliott Bay Books in Seattle at 7 p.m. Maybe you'll make it to that event. But whether or not you do, you'll get to hear the dulcet tones of Ethel Rohan reading to us some of her short stories. That and Jack Kerouac in the first half hour, and some jazz by the late, great Clarence Clemons, the big man who we're celebrating today during the week of his passing. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to summertime. My name is Dr. Andy, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. You know, it was 24 years ago this month that I first ventured to California. I was a college student at Boston University. My best friend Bob and I decided we wanted to see the country and venture to the promised land. As we listen to Clarence Clemons now, I remember that the mixtape, the road tape that we made for that particular trip, included Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band performing This Land Is Your Land. He told a story beforehand about that song by Woody Guthrie being a response to Irving Berlin's God Bless America. We also had each read Jack Kerouac the summer before, not only on the road, but the Dharma Bums. Dharma Bums, a book largely, I think it was a 1963 book, if I remember correctly, on the road, 1959. The 1963 book, The Dharma Bums, was largely about a fictional character named Jaffe Ryder, who Davisites know as Gary Snyder, the longtime professor, now professor emeritus of English at UC Davis. Certainly the poet who's been responsible for some of the biggest readings on and off campus here in the city of Davis. Readings of poetry, anyway. Well, I've been thinking about Jack Kerouac because of this important anniversary, important for me anyway, and I thought I'd share with you some of his work. We're going to hear first a public service announcement from the Linux Users Group of Davis, and then when we return, the voice, over 14 minutes of a single track of the voice of Jack Kerouac reading his poetry here on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
The Linux Users Group of Davis, or LUGOD, is a nonprofit organization dedicated to promoting the Linux computer operating system and other open source products as an alternative to expensive, proprietary, and monopolistic software. LUGOD meets in Davis on the first Tuesday and third Monday of each month. For more information, visit LUGOD's website at lugod.org or contact Bill Kendrick at 530-759-1019. Or via email at root@lugod.org.
This is the late Clarence Clemens that we hear in the background. His CD called Peacemaker. This track is called Peace Prayer. Filed under jazz. From one of the rock and roll gods of the saxophone. Well, now let's hear some Jack Kerouac. The long track that you're about to hear includes some of the rough cut talk by the sound engineers who are getting Kerouac ready to perform with music behind him. Jack Kerouac performed with jazz just about as well as anyone. And now we're going to hear some evidence of that. This afternoon, 2011, June 22nd, longest day of the year, we're celebrating Jack Kerouac here on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
1-2-4-3 poems from the unpublished Book of Blues.
I would like them to play behind me while I'm reading. Can you hear me while they're playing?
Blues. I see the backs of old men rolling slowly into black stores. Lined-faced, mustached, black men with army-weathered brown hats stomp on by with bags of burlap and rue, talking to secret companions with long hair in the sidewalk on 3rd Street, San Francisco, with the rain of exhaust flicking in the mist you see in black store doors, petting trucks, plopping, vastly city. Third Street, market, to lease, as a washed-down tile entrance, once white, now caked with gum, of 100,000 feet of passers who didn't go straight on, bending to flat the time tap page on back, with smoke emanating from their noses, but slowly, like old lantern-jawed junkmen, hurrying with the lumped, wondrous potato bag, through the avenues of sunshine, came bending the spit and shuffled a while there. The rooftop of the beat-up tenement on 3rd and Harrison has Belfast painted black on yellow on the sides. The old Frisco wood is shown with weather-beaten rain boards, and a washed-out blue bottle once painted for wild commercial reasons by an excited Seltzerite. As firemen came last afternoon and raised a ladder to a fruitless fire that was not there. So is Belfast singing in this time when brands forgotten, taste washed in, rain the gullies broadened, everybody gone, the acrobats of the tenements who dug Belfast, divers all, and the divers all dove. Ah, little girls make shadows on the sidewalk, shorter than the shadow of death in this town. Fat girls in red coats with flat white-out shoes, harried Mexican laborers become respectable in San Francisco, carrying newspapers of culture burden and packages of need, walk sadly reluctant to work in dawn, stalking with not cat in the field of their stride, touching to hide the sidewalk. Black shiny last night polished shoes hidden slippery with hard slicky heels to slide and fall, but wet collar. Some kids with thick lips and black skin carry paper bags meaninglessly. Don't bother the cat! His mother yelled at him yesterday, and now he goes to work down 3rd Street in the milky dawn, piano rolling over the hills to the tune of the English fifers and some white of mine. Bric-a-brac, pliers in your back, knick-mac, kidneys in your back, bald boo, oranges in you, lick-lock, the red-faced cock, oi, yow. Yon to la, 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 niloom. The weary gray hat, peacoat, exhaler, marining meekly, hands a pooper pocket, face lips. Oh, Mosey. The long, fat, yellow eternity cream of the 3rd Street butts, roof swimming like a monosyllabic, armored mosasaur swimming in my primordial window pane of pain. Laugh. The kid is worried. His pops astray. What to say? To well-dressed ambassadors from death's truth. Pimp-like, rich, and morning slick. Or sad white caps of snowy seamen in San Francisco gray streets, arm waving to walk the Harrison Cross and earn later sunset purple. Just think that sad old bum. No money. Presuming to hit the store and buy his cube of oleo for 8 cents. So in cheap rooms at AM 3:30, he can cough and groan in a white tile sink by his bed, which is used to run water in and stagger to in the reel of wake up middle of the night flophouse nightmare. Is death no blacker than mine? Is toast just as well buttered and on one side? There's no telling what's on the mind of the bony character in plaid work coat and glasses carrying lunch, stalking and bouncing slowly to his job. Yes, or the beauteous Indian girl hurrying stately into Marathon Grocery, run by Greeks, to buy bananas for her love night. What's she thinking? Her lips are like cherries. Her cheeks just burst them out. All the more to kiss them and suck their juices out. A young woman flees an old man, Mohammedan prophesy. And she got avocados anyway. The furtive girl looks over her shoulder while unlocking the door of the tenement of her man, who with big Negro, Arkansas, or East Texas, all fields, Harry Truman hat, been standing there on the street all day, waiting for the cold girl, bending in thin coat in the wind. And Sunday afternoon drizzle. Step on it, get some bread. But Papa's got to get some sleep tonight, and the Chinaman's on his bed. No hunger and no whittles neither, dearie, said the crone to Edwin Drood. Okay. There'll be an answer forthcoming when the morning wind ceases shaking the man's collar, when there's no starch in it, and Acme beer runs flowing into dry gray hats, when, dearie, the pennies in the palm multiply as you watch. When whistlers stop scowling, smokers stop sighing, watchers stop looking, and women stop walking and worrying coats, when gray beards grow no more, and pain don't take you by surprise, and bedposts creak in rhythm not at morn, and dry man's bones are not pushed by angry, meaning, pelvic, propelled legs of reason to a place you hate, then I'll go lay my crowned body on the heads of three men hurrying and laughing in the wrong direction, my idol. Love is an automaton sounding like a machine through the stop keyhole. Young men go fast and old men. Old men are passionately breathless. Young men breathe inwardly. Young men and old women wait or wail. Cause there was a sound of slapping when the angel soul come, and the angel that had lost lay back satisfied. Hungry, addle, red face with tight clutch, traditional time, briefcase in his paw, prowls clacking the pavement to an office girl's rumpled skirt at 5. 5 o'clock shadows. Angrily, I must insist, that phony Negro sea captain with a battered coat who looks like Charlie Chaplin, in the movie about now, filmed in the air by crews of raving, rabid angels drooling happily among the funny, fat cherubim, leading that serious, hard-jawed, sincere Negro stud in at morn for a round of crime, is Lucifer the fraud. Besides, little girls worry too much, but no one will hurt them except the beast whom made nice in another life in the Adwell east as west of Bethlehem, and do of it much. Rhetorical Third Street, grasping at racket, groans, stinky. I have no time to dally hassle in your heart's house. It's too gray. I'm too cold. I want to go to Golden. That's my home. I came a-wearying from Eastern Hills. Yonder Nabatake recessed. The eastward to Aurora rolls. Somewhere west of Idalia. A reef of rusted falls, one. Lost a black-haired woman with 10 feet and leg bag hanging. Used to walk down Arapahoe Street in Denver and make all the cabbies cry. And drugstore ponies eating poodle and rim sacks sob. To see so lovely all the time and all so nice and young. Sure, Paws Ford got lost in a depression. He drove over the divide and forgot to cleave the road. Instead, put atomic energy in his machine and flew to find the gory clouds of rocky torment far away. And he fished him out of Miner's Creek. More dead than Henry. A whole lot fonder. Partner. Clack of the wheels, my freight train blues. Third Street I seed and knowed. And under ramps I writ the poems of the punk who met the Fagin who told him, punk, when walking with me to roll a sleeping drunk. Don't wish you was back at home in your mother's parlor, and when the cops come a-blasting with loaded 45s. Don't ask for gold and silver from my purse. This milk and hassle will be strewn and scattered in the sand by an old bean can and dried up kegs with a fat and jot on. Blow my bones in the mortuary. My terms and deeds of mortgagery and death and taxes all wrapped up.
You're listening to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS 90.3 FM, Davis. And that, of course, was Jack Kerouac. We'll be right back. Merchants National Bank of Sacramento reminds us that we're all a bit concerned about driving during the upcoming 4th of July holiday due to the number of people who may be drinking and driving. Remember that concern before you have that, quote, one for the road. Take care of yourself and others. Don't drink and drive. This important message is the courtesy of the Merchants National Bank of Sacramento in Sacramento, member FDIC, and an equal housing lender. They're on the air wishing everyone a safe and happy 4th of July weekend. it's time for another summer poem. This is a poem called Walt Whitman Bathing by David Wagner. It's about Walt Whitman, the great 19th century American poet, towards the end of his life, post-stroke, giving himself a bath. And therefore, I should warn listeners that there is some nudity in this poem. Walt Whitman Bathing. After his stroke, he would walk into the woods on sunny days and take off all his clothes, slowly, one plain shoe and one plain sock at a time, his good right hand as gentle as a mother's, and bathe himself in a pond while murmuring and singing quietly, splashing a while and dabbling at his ease, white hair and beard afloat and still streaming down his white chest when he came wading ashore, naked and quivering. Then he would pace in circles, sometimes dancing a few light steps, his right leg leading the way, unsteady but considerably for the left, as if with an awkward partner. He seemed as oblivious to passers-by as he was to his bare body, which was no longer a nursery for metaphors or a banquet hall for figures of self-praise, but a bedroom, or a modest bed in that bedroom, or the covers on that bed in need of airing out in the sunlight. He would sit down on the bank and stare at the water for an hour, as if expecting something to emerge, some new reflection in place of the old. Meanwhile, he would examine the postures of wildflowers, the workings of small leaves, holding them close to his pale eyes while mumbling inaudibly. He would dress then, helping his left side with his right as patiently as he might have dressed the wounded or the dead, and would lead himself toward home like a dear companion. You're listening to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. We're listening to the music of the late Clarence Clemons. The CD is called Peacemaker. We just heard the track called Into the Blue Forest. In a few minutes, we'll be joined here on the KDVS Live Line by Ethel Rohan. She has a couple books of fiction that have come out in the last couple of years. And in a moment, she'll be sharing with us some of her work. She's giving a reading tomorrow evening in Seattle. My name is Dr. Andy. It's the beginning of summer. And you're listening to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let's listen to Allen Ginsberg read his poem, A Supermarket in California. He lives on Milvia Street in Berkeley, not too far from where I live near Indian Rock when I first moved to California all those years ago. Here is the voice and the poetry of Allen Ginsberg.
A Supermarket in California. what thought I had of you tonight, Walt Whitman. For I walked down the side streets under the trees with a headache, self-conscious, looking at the full moon. In my hungry fatigue and shopping for images, I went into the neon fruit supermarket, dreaming of your enumerations. What peaches and what penumbras, whole families shopping at night, aisles full of husbands, wives in the avocados, babies in the tomatoes. And you, Garcia Lorca, what were you doing down by the watermelons? I saw you, Walt Whitman, childless, lonely old grubber, poking among the meats in the refrigerator and eyeing the grocery boys. I heard you asking questions of each. Who killed the pork chops? What price bananas? Are you my angel? I wandered in and out of the brilliant stacks of cans, following you and followed in my imagination by the store detective. We strode down the open corridors together, in our solitary fancy, tasting artichokes, possessing every frozen delicacy, and never passing the cashier. Where are we going, Walt Whitman? The doors close in an hour. Which way does your beard point tonight? I touch your book and dream of our odyssey in the supermarket and feel absurd. Will we walk all night through solitary streets? The trees add shade to shade, lights out in the houses. We'll both be lonely. Will we stroll dreaming of the lost America of love past blue automobiles and driveways home to our silent cottage? Dear father, gray beard, lonely old courage teacher, what America did you have when Sharon quit poling his ferry and you got out on a smoking bank and stood watching the boat disappear on the black waters of Lethe?
Everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. Ethel Rohan is my next guest. She is the author of Hard to Say from Pank, 2011, and Cut Through the Bone, Dark Sky Books, 2010, the latter named a 2010 Notable Story Collection by the Story Prize. Her work has or will appear in the Good Men Project, the Chattahoochee Review, Los Angeles Review, Potomac Review, and Southeast Review online, among many others. She earned her MFA in fiction from Mills College, California. She was raised in Dublin, Ireland. You'll hear a little bit of that accent when we begin to speak. But she's now a resident of San Francisco. If you'd like to find out more about her, you can visit ethelrohan.com. think people in Seattle will be particularly interested, for tomorrow evening, Thursday, June 23rd, she'll be reading at Elliott Bay Books in the city of Seattle at 7 o'clock from her first story collection, Cut Through the Bone, which was released last December from the Seattle-based independent publisher Dark Sky Books. Her second tiny story collection was just released in May from Penk, but the focus tomorrow will be at Cut Through the Bone, the 2010 publication by my guest this afternoon, Ethel Rohan. Ethel, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thank you so much, Andy. A pleasure to be here.
Well, it's wonderful to have you here. And wonderful, I think, for you that you had this collection published by Dark Sky Books and that you get to go up to Seattle and make some new friends. Tell me about Dark Sky Books and how is it that they chose your collection, which is titled Cut Through the Bone, for publication?
Thank you, Andy. I do feel very fortunate to have my first book published by Dark Sky. It's been a wonderful experience, and I discovered Dark Sky through their online magazine. I submitted a story that I'm actually going to read for you in a bit, titled Shatter, and received a wonderful response from the editor there to that. And the more I learned about the magazine and about the editors, the more I wanted to place my work there. And so it was just a good fit from the very beginning. I sent them the manuscript, which I admit was at first rejected, sent back with some love, and they expressed an interest in seeing a rewrite of it. So I went to work and spent several months really, for me, paring down the stories. My background is quite traditional in that I'm a narrative storyteller, and I have written a lot of traditional, longer short stories and several, at this point, novel manuscripts. So it was interesting and a big surprise to me that my first book is indeed a collection of very short stories. But it's been really instructive to me, that form of the very short story, or it's also commonly known as flash fiction. When I did my MFA at Mills, I had the great honor and pleasure of working with Victor LaValle, and one of his mantras was that we should know our weaknesses as writers and police against them. And one of my weaknesses is that I love description. I love flowery language, and I have a bad habit of tending towards overwriting. So really, it's good to know what we need to work on and what we need to eradicate from our work. And the form, for me, the very short story, has indeed been a blessing. And I think it's helped my writing career as a whole, not just with this collection, but beyond.
Well, this was certainly one reason why I was drawn to your work, because in the book trailer that we'll talk about in a few minutes, if I'm not misreading, you have a chance to read some actual complete short stories or you know, good portions of some of the short stories.
Yes, certainly there's highlights, yes.
In this book. And they have, many of them, a poetic quality to them, which I guess is inevitable when one does such focus on pairing and tries to make every word count.
Right, absolutely. And it's interesting because I think the very short story is somewhat controversial in that there's a sense that it's practice, if you will, for longer works. And believe me, I've come the very long route to finding the short form, and I would beg to differ. I think it's a fine form in its own right. And as I say, for me in particular, it's been very rewarding. You know, these are tiny stories. The most average about 600-700 words. The longest goes up to about 1,500 words. But I believe they're powerful, and more importantly, they're meaningful. And I think much of that was lost in my longer work. This is really, as you say, it's about craft and honing and really parsing down the prose. And I feel quite proud of this collection.
As well you should.
Thank you. We're
going to take a quick break to hear a public service announcement, and then when we return, I'm going to ask Ethel Rohan to share with us some of her work. She's joining us this afternoon on KDBS for Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour, but tomorrow evening, She'll be in Seattle, and my Seattle listeners will perhaps be interested in knowing that she'll be reading tomorrow night at 7 p.m. at Elliott Bay Books in Seattle. So we'll be right back with more of Ethel Rohan here on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS.
Women's Health Specialists offers free and low-cost health care. Are you looking for health care but have no insurance? Women's Health Specialists is a women-run clinic that provides free gynecological and birth control services to help women make the best health care decisions. Women Health Specialist is now located at 1750 Wright Street at Alta Arden in Sacramento. For information, call 916-451-0621 or visit their website at www.womenshealthspecialist.org.
Welcome back, everyone. Ethel Rohan is my guest. She's the author of a 2010 collection called Cut Through the Bone from Dark Sky Books. She'll be reading from that tomorrow evening in Seattle, and she has agreed to share with us, I believe, one of those stories this afternoon. Ethel, could I ask which one you've chosen? Did you say it's called Shattered?
That's correct. It's called Shatter, and I apologize, I misspoke. This was first published by Frigg Magazine and its wonderful editor, Ellen Parker.
Okay, great. Let's hear, is it Shatter or Shattered?
Shatter.
Let's hear Shatter by Ethel Rohan.
Shatter. The list of accidents grew. A pebble cracked their windshield. A jam jar smashed on the kitchen tiles. A grocery bag burst. Shattered glass floating in red wine and egg yolks. Somehow, no one hurt. More, no matter how much she wiped down her kitchen counters and swept her kitchen floor, still she found pieces of glass glinting up at her. Her husband said she was making something out of nothing. She worked 6 12-hour shifts a week at the drugstore next to the mall. Supposed to be a starter job at a city college, she'd worked at the store 8 years and counting. Wary now, since the accidents, she handled customers' glass purchases with extra care, tense while she scanned and packed the items. The more careful she tried to be, the clumsier she became. During one shift, a jar of mayonnaise smashed. During others, mustard, beetroot, San Pellegrino. Her manager pulled her aside and asked if she was working under the influence. She blinked and stuttered through his rank breath. Her wits recovered. She told him that if he wanted to get personal, he should know about his halitosis, should clear the green pus from the inner corners of his eyes. On the bus ride home, a baby in chalk blue pajamas wailed. His mother bounced him on her knees, rocked him in her arms, shushed and cooed, and waved brightly colored toys in front of his too red face. Still, the baby wailed. She closed her eyes to the baby and his mother, to her reflection in the bus window. They didn't have kids, something the doctors couldn't explain. Sometimes she thought she only wanted babies because they would give her a break from the drugstore. Other times, she thought their childlessness was for the best. On their salaries, they couldn't afford a family. Her husband sold life insurance. Seemed people didn't care anymore about what they left behind. He insisted on practicing his sales pitches on her. More and more, he sounded like he was pleading with a doctor to save him. As soon as she arrived home, she phoned her husband at work to remind him they were out of beer and wine. "Get those sour cream and onion chips, too," she added. Time was, she purchased the alcohol at a discount from the drugstore. Then her co-workers and managers started to watch and whisper. She chewed harder on the side of her thumb. Maybe she should call her husband back and tell him to forget the chips. Hardly any of her clothes fit anymore. Her mouth watered. What was living if she couldn't have a few treats every evening, some chips with wine before dinner after a hard day's work? She thought to phone her mother, but felt too tired. She really should call her sister, too, one of these days. They hadn't spoken in months. She moved into her living room, turned on the table lamp with its happy yellow shade, and watched through the window for her husband's silver car to appear. Her reflection stared back, flat and pale. For a mad moment, she thought to grab the table lamp and hurl it through the glass. She closed her eyes and steadied her breathing. A song carried from the radio in the kitchen, something about cheating and revenge. She listened for the familiar sound of the car's engine, of her husband moving up the front path, and the bottles hitting together. Thank you.
Absolutely. That was very nice.
Thank you.
If I remember correctly, on the video book trailer for your book, there is an image of a broken wine glass.
That's correct. Yes.
With all of the pieces, the broken pieces arranged just where they almost should be if they hadn't shattered. And I'm wondering, well, first of all, in case people are sitting in a computer and would like to follow along, what's the easiest way for them to find this video on YouTube or elsewhere that we're talking about?
If they go to the website, Andy, which you kindly mentioned already, Ethelrohan, ROHAN.com, they'll easily find the book trailer there.
And tell me about how common this is for a collection of short stories to have its own book trailer, and then how did you go about having that created, and did you get any help from your press with that?
Well, first of all, I think it is becoming more and more common. There's such a great marriage now of technology and books, and I think the book trailer is going to be on the rise, and it's as innovative as any other media form out there. The idea of the trailer for my book, I have to give full credit to Kevin Murphy, my publisher at Dark Sky Books. It was his idea, and again, I had the luck and good fortune opportunity of a dear friend of mine who is in that industry and kindly helped me with the trailer. We both, Kevin Murphy and I, him being an independent publisher and myself being a writer, it was really a question of contacts and being able to bring that trailer into the world.
It's a wonderful piece of work. I've seen book trailers for authors who I've helped in a side business who were New York Times bestsellers, and they're very kind of flashy, over the top with heavy narration and so forth. I really appreciated the ways that yours was understated, and the delightful use of multiple cameras on you as you're reading or talking about your book, and then also the photographs. I'm wondering if you could say something about the photographs in the trailer.
Credit goes there to John Cohen, who is the producer of the video. John and myself and Kevin had several phone conferences, and we definitely wanted to go with simple, that idea of the muted colors, and really wanted it to be about the words, wanted it to be about the work, and the images, I think, just enhanced the mood of the book and its tone. And I just don't think we could have done it any differently, and I'm very grateful and delighted with how it did indeed turn out.
Yeah, well, as well you should be. So you're reading in Seattle tomorrow evening. You've got a book out very late last year, a book out this year. I'm wondering what your next steps are. Are you also in writing mode? Or are you mostly in book publicity mode? How is this summer going to function for you as a writer?
That's a great question. I must admit I was somewhat naive regarding the marketing and promotion of the book. It's been really a journey for me to get to this point, and I thought that was the hard work. But as it turns out, marketing and promoting the work is almost as necessary as writing it in the first place. I'm enjoying it thus far, and I'm trying to sort of keep tapping away in the background. I do have a writing practice and routine, and I do try to write every day. And I've been writing for a long time, Andy. I completed my MFA back in 2004, but I have been writing for many years before that, so I have a lot of material. I think the daily practice and the experience that has got me to this point just allows the work to be a lot better than it was. So I am near completion on a third story collection, and I've also just completed a novel manuscript. So it seems like it's all happening at once, but trust me, it's been a long road to get to this point.
I'm sure. Well, I guess one question that many of the listeners who are wondering how it is that professional authors do it, and I'm teaching a creative writing class this summer, and some of my students are listening. Could you say just a little bit before we let you go, Ethel Rowan, about the discipline, the routine, the motivation? How do you juggle or accommodate these different pressures and necessities in order to stay on a strict and daily writing schedule?
Again, the journey to get to this point has been, trial and error also. And I think really the breakthrough, if you will, for me as a writer was not all that long ago, about a year ago, when I finally just rid myself of the self-doubt and, was constantly questioning, is this what I should be dedicating my life to? I'm also a mother. I wear an interior design hat also. And, the life will always tug on you in various different directions. But that desire to write sort of overrode everything else. And I finally just said, this is it. This is my path. And just let go of the self-doubt. And I only, once I did that, realized how much energy I had really wasted on that. And now I just think of it as showing up for the writing. That usually means being physically at my desk writing, but it's also, out and about, talking about my books, reading other writers' books. It's just surrounding myself with writing and filling my life with writing and reading. And for listeners out there, particularly young writers, I would say just every day show up, whether that's you're just observing, whether that's you're writing, whether it's you're making connections. Networking is so important. Go to readings. It just all sort of nourishes the writer within us and honors it.
I certainly agree with you. Well, Ethel Rowan, the author of Hard to Say from Penk 2011, and the book that we've been talking about this afternoon, Cut Through the Bone, Dark Sky Books, late 2010. That book named a 2010 Notable Story Collection by the Story Prize. Congratulations for that, all the publications and reviews that we spoke of before. And I wish you continued good luck, Ethel, with this interesting collection that we've been talking about, and with the necessary publicity that you're keeping up with admirably.
Thank you so much, Andy. A pleasure and an honor. Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
You are listening to KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. My name is Andy Jones, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. We'll be right back after this message.
Are you looking for something to do this summer?
Yeah, I'm pretty bored.
Davis Community Meals needs volunteers.
What's that about?
Davis Community Meals is a nonprofit, non-denominational organization whose mission is to provide low-income and homeless individuals and families with housing, food, and human services to help them rebuild their lives.
Wow, that sounds nice.
You can volunteer at their meals program, their shelters, or their resource center.
Cool.
Call 530-220-4089 to volunteer.
Dr. Andy with an important message. Looking for options after graduation? Thinking about taking a year off? Consider AmeriCorps NCCC. The NCCC is a nationwide community service organization dedicated to community growth and personal development. Members spend 10 months serving at one of the program's five campuses, serving the surrounding communities. NCCC works in teams of 8 to 10 individuals, ages 18 to 24. Positions are available as educators, firefighters, construction workers, and many other positions. In exchange, NCCC members are provided a living stipend and an education award equivalent to the Pell Grant. Visit AmeriCorps.gov for more information about AmeriCorps NCCC. We've been listening to the music throughout today's show of none other than Clarence Clemons, the late saxophonist for the E Street Band that backed up Bruce Springsteen. Sad to have to commemorate his life on this particular radio show. This is track 5, called Serenity, from his album Peacemaker. Clarence Clemons playing jazz. I believe this is a 1995 recording. I'd like to thank my guests this afternoon, not only from Beyond the Grave, Clarence Clemons, but also from Beyond the Grave, Jack Kerouac, who read to us for about 20 minutes this afternoon with jazz in the background. And then also I'd like to thank Ethel Rohan for, or she says it more appropriately, precisely, of course, because it's her name, Ethel Rohan. Ethel Rohan is a Irish-born poet from Dublin. She lives in San Francisco now, studied at Mills College, and she will be reading in Seattle tomorrow evening. This coming Monday night at the Sacramento Poetry Center, there will be reading by a couple poets, one of whom will be my friend, Kendra. Kendra appeared on, Kenya. Kenya appeared on this radio show, a few weeks ago, and talked about her work. Well, now she's going to be reading, Kenya Mitchell will be, at the Sacramento Poetry Center. Or is it in Fremont Park? I'm not quite sure. I think it is in Fremont Park in Sacramento. If you want to find out more, then point your browser at Sacramento Poetry Center at sacramentopoetrycenter.org. Kenya Mitchell is a poet originally from New Orleans who will be sharing her work in Sacramento this coming Monday evening. Well, I hope that you stick around after this, Clarence Clemons, to hear none other than DJ Tangosaurus Rex, who's here in the studio. She's eager to share with you some of the reggae and other spiritually significant music that she's been researching to share with you this afternoon on Cool and Deadly. So stick around for that, and know that the next poetry reading that I'll be hosting will be at Bistro 33 on July 6th. We'll have this one outdoors, and that will be with Simmons Bunton and Doreen Jeanette, who's also appeared on this radio show here in the studio, and who is a much-beloved local poet as well as a local realtor. My name is Dr. Andy. Thanks for tuning in on such a warm day. I'll see you next week for another edition of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Mm-hmm.